160 suffer a bike injury, it's only natural to do what we can to prevent anything bad from happening. But did you know that 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused before the age of 18? Like wearing a helmet, prevention through education is the most important thing we can do to protect our children. Visit lawrencekids.org to learn more.
All right, everybody, what are you going to do? It's the year end and you've got a need to get cash to pay maybe the IRS or some of your credit cards. You want to end the year, you need cash. Maybe you've got an investment you want to buy. What are you going to do if you need cash? You've got equity in your real estate. You're going to call me, Jim Fried, at 305-773-6300. I can help you get that cash out of that real estate. Maybe you're a realtor and you've got a foreign buyer that's having a tough time getting financed. Maybe you're a realtor and you've got a client that looks good on paper, but when you go underneath, they've got a credit issue. We can help. Credit score is under 600. Not an issue with us. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
880 The Biz, where money talks. You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, Wanda, do we have Vicky on the phone? All right, we've got Vicky O'Neill Haber. She donated her kidney to somebody she didn't know. It's a fascinating, beautiful story filled with love and spirituality. Vicky, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Now, Vicky, tell me a little bit about how you decided to become a kidney donor.
Well, it started as a little bit of a fluke. I saw a posting on Facebook through a local friend of mine who just said, hey, if you have this blood type, would you consider donating? And I thought, you know, what are the chances that this is actually going to happen? So I went ahead and responded to the kidney coordinator who was making the match and started the process. And I just kept making it through each round. First my blood type was good and then my kidney function was good. And it all just kind of spiraled from there.
So then tell me a little bit about where your kidney went.
So my kidney went to a wonderful woman named Rachel. At the time that I started the process, I did not know Rachel. It was set up to be an anonymous donation. Uh-huh. But we had some kind of serendipitous little moments that let us know that this match was probably meant to be. After we got matched, but before the surgery was scheduled, I was talking to a friend of mine and asked her if she happened to know this woman, because I knew her name.
Right.
And of course, I've done some Facebook stalking because that's what you do. and it turned out that we both had this one mutual friend. And so I asked the mutual friend, hey, by the way, do you happen to know Rachel? And she looked at me with a little bit of a face and said, yeah, why? And I said, oh, no reason. I'm just, helping her out with something. And that kind of got her attention. It turns out that this very close friend of mine is a first cousin of the recipient.
Oh, wow.
And I did not know that at the time. So that was a pretty amazing little moment right there. And then 3 weeks later, I was at a religious event and I was in the lobby with my 9-year-old son who needed a break from the event. And at that exact moment, my recipient walked through the lobby and I only knew it was her because she happened to be wearing a name tag and happened to be walking through the lobby at the same time.
OMG, it sounds like there's a little bit of extraterrestrial activity going on there. Perhaps the greater power helping out here.
Right, exactly. So I stopped her and said, are you who I think you are? And she said, who are you? And so I introduced myself and said, well, I'm giving you my kidney. And we hugged and we cried and we laughed and we talked a little bit. And she thanked me for, being willing to save her life. Afternoon, actually, the hospital called to schedule the surgery.
Gosh. So. Now, you're a mom. What did you talk to your child about this, your husband? How did that go?
I did. I talked to my two kids and my partner about it after I had started the process, and they were the first three to know about it. And they were both My kids were both a little bit scared because, you know, surgery seemed like a big deal.
Of course.
My partner obviously was a little nervous about it as well.
Of course.
You know, he doesn't like hospitals all that much. But when I explained why I wanted to do it, they really didn't say anything else other than we totally support you and we get it.
Why did you want to do it?
Well, you know, there are so many people who need a kidney, and most of them wait years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and then they're not able to function. You know, they're on dialysis, they're bound to their house, they can't work, they don't have a good quality of life. And I thought to myself, if this were me, if this were one of my kids, if this were my partner, if this were my parents, if this was anyone in my life, God forbid, who was dealing with this, I would be sitting around and praying for someone to step up and make a donation. And I thought, you know, why wouldn't I be the one to do that? I have this opportunity to step up and make someone's life so much better. And really the impact on me is very minimal. What's the reason not to?
Well, tell me about tell me about the impact, because my wife has been waiting for 4 years. She goes to dialysis every day, and I'm watching her deteriorate every day, and she can do less and less. And she's the center of my life, the star of everything that I do, the inspiration every morning I wake up. So how do you feel now? You made the spiritual choice. You donated your kidney to somebody you didn't even know. And now how do you feel physically and, more importantly, spiritually?
So physically, it'll be 4 weeks this coming Monday since the surgery, and I feel amazing.
Wow.
I'm a fifth grade teacher, and I was back at work 2 weeks after the surgery.
Wow.
I am on a bowling league, and I went bowling last week, but don't tell my mom because she'll be really mad at me, unless she's listening. I play soccer, and I'm planning on returning to playing soccer. Really, it was 1 week out of my life, 1 week where I was in a hospital for a couple of days and in a little bit of pain and uncomfortable. But, you know, the emotion that I felt and the outpouring of support that I got from my friends and my family and my community, and more importantly, what I saw in my recipient's family and in my recipient, I don't even remember what the pain felt like. I mean, yes, it hurts. It's surgery. You know, anyone who's been through any sort of surgery understands recovery is sometimes difficult. But it was 1 week, and I traded 1 week of my life for 10 years of someone else's. And I feel like that's a really good trade.
Now, I'm going to ask you another question. I want you to go back to the moment that you saw Rachel. Is that her name? When you saw Rachel for the first time after surgery, how did you feel?
You know, we saw each other the next day and we cried. I mean, we cried, and if we could have hugged, we probably would have hugged. But you know, I think the first thing I asked when I woke up was, how's Rachel? How's the kidney? Did everything go okay? And I think the first thing she asked when she woke up was, how's Vicky? How's she doing? Is everything okay? We were on the same hospital floor. We visited each other every day, took walks to each other's rooms. So,
have your kids met her?
My kids met her at that religious service.
So how did that go?
That was great. I said, this is the woman I'm donating my kidney to. And they both shook her hand, and she thanked them for, you know, sharing me with her. And they were, you know, I think they were a little in awe of it. It made it a little bit more realistic instead of something that was abstract.
We've only got like a minute left, and I want you to talk. I want you to talk to the people out there that would be open-minded, that would consider being a living donor. What would you say if you were sitting on the bus and just having a conversation and somebody said, you know, I'd like to learn more about that, I'd be interested. What would you say?
I would tell them that it would probably be the best decision that they've ever made in their life, that it is easy, it is simple, you have a ton of support through the hospital that you're doing it with, and usually a kidney matchmaker, so to speak, and the coordinators through the hospital, and there is no reason in the world, if you are a healthy person, to not consider donating your kidney.
I love
that. Your life will not change one bit, but somebody else's life will change 200%.
I love you. I want to thank you for Rachel and the universe Absolutely. Of experiences that you gifted her. I want to thank you for all the people that are going to hear our interview, because I'm going to make it social media everywhere. I'll give you a link. You can send it and you can use it too. But I want to thank Wonderful. You for all the people that you'll never meet whose lives you changed today. God bless
you. Thank you. And thank you for letting me share my story. And I hope that your wife finds her match soon.
God bless you. Thank you so much. You are absolutely one of the most beautiful, wonderful human beings on the face of the earth. And I know one thing.
Thank you.
I know one thing. When your time here is over, you'll live forever. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I appreciate it.
It's my absolute pleasure. God bless you. We'll be back after this. I don't think it'll match that level of spiritual greatness, but we'll be talking about giving and philanthropy and influencing culture and outcomes for other people everywhere. We'll be back right after this with more great information that'll change your life. And if that first segment didn't change your life, I don't think anything will. Wanda, take it away. Well, I want to thank our first guest, Vicki O'Neill Haber, living donor, beautiful human being, hand of God on earth. You know, she's giving me a spiritual lift that I need, because we're searching for a kidney for Vivian Fried. If you'd like more information on how to give a kidney to Vivian, you can email r1125@renewal.org. r1125@renewal.org. It's on our website. It's everywhere. You can call me. We're trying to stay alive here. It's a really good song, and you can hear it really hit me hard. Anyway, I want to thank our friends at Warren Henry who support the show and who support Vivian in her quest to get a kidney. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They've also got their new store up in Gainesville that sells awesome Audis. I was driving the Audi A7 Turbo just last week. Smoking hot car. They're all exceptional cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. It'll be the best decision you ever made. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Wanda, time to dance.
Run their content marketing. Espresso Content Cafe is a digital marketing agency specializing in brewing up very caffeinated email and social media marketing campaigns. We get your network of clients, prospects, and suspects hooked on your brand. We like to think of it as giving your marketing a double shot espresso. Take a look at our website and then give us a call so we can take your marketing to the next level. Go to www.expressocc.com or call Espresso at 305-507-7199. 305-507-7199.
All right, everybody, it's time for me to talk to the people out there that have cash in their real estate and that they want to pull it out. Give me a call, Jim Fried, at 305-773-6300. I'm with Spectrum Worthy. one of the oldest private lenders here in town. We can help you out with a loan as small as $150,000, as big as $15 million. One person makes the decision. We can commit that same day, close within a week. You need cash to close by the end of the year? Call me. Maybe you have a loan with a family member that helped you buy that house. You want to get the family member out of your business? Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Maybe you got bad credit. Maybe you didn't know you had bad credit until you got that notice in the mail and you were in the process of buying a house. Maybe the bank said yes, but then they said no. Who will say yes? We will. Give me a call. Jim Fried at 305-773-6300. I am here to help you. Want to close by year end? Need to pay the IRS? Pull some cash out to do it? No problem. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, everybody, we're waiting for Wanda to work her magic with David Callahan. She is calling on the bat line, so we're going to allow Wanda to do that. In the meantime, I want to go back to the prior interview we just had on Vicki O'Neill Haber. She was giving her story about why she donated a kidney, why she was a living donor. And basically, she said it was the best thing she ever did. She's a mother. She's married. She plays sports. She was down for about a week. She went back to teaching fifth grade elementary kids. Her kids were on board. Her partner's on board. She said it was the best thing that she ever did. And when you talk to the people that are living donors, they typically say that they want to do it again and again and again, but they only have the one kidney. You know, Wanda, if we're not getting David Callahan on, we're just going to go right into talking to George about doing a lease. Okay, so let's talk to George. George, we're welcoming George Morales. He's an old friend of mine. George is a very experienced real estate broker in town. He does office leasing. George, welcome to the show.
Jim, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Now, George, tell me a little bit about your background so we can set the table for people.
All right, so I often tell people jokingly, if commercial real estate doesn't work out for me, I'm going back to Chick-fil-A, because I've been in commercial real estate since high school. And I got into the business through Alan Morris Company. That's when we got to know each other.
Love Alan Morris. I saw him just last night at an event. The guy is a hallmark person that's really built an incredible company. He's done a great job, and most of the alumni are terrific, except for you.
Well, I appreciate that.
No problem.
So you must truly know me. So look, and there's a lot of good people still there that have been there for many years, so it's a testament to his company. But so I cut my teeth there. I started cleaning rooftop algae at 2121 Ponce under the cooling tower as a maintenance guy, and Paul White brought me over.
High five to Paul.
And we love Paul White. He gave me my start. He said, come on over to corporate office and wear a tie, and I'll pay you $2 more an hour. And I was there. And that lasted 11 years. So got my real estate license in 95 after graduating Florida International University. So shout out to FIU. And 1996, became leasing agent for the portfolio. So I handled Brickell, downtown, Airport West, and eventually Coral Gables. So that's how I got my start as a leasing agent in commercial real estate.
Yeah, but you also have your PhD in real estate. We call that a CCIM. Listen, we've got David Callahan on. We're going to have George. So George, set the table. Stay tuned, because we're going to talk to George later on in the show. George, thanks for batting, pinch hitting for me there for a minute. David, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be here.
Thank you so much for calling in. Now, listen, we do a lot of family office stuff. I go to a lot of these events, and I see a lot of these people that are family office people. They got billions of dollars. I'm also on the University of Florida Foundation Board, so we solicit these people. And there's been an evolution in their involvement in the university, in the world. Tell me, what's going on out there? Who are these people, and what are they trying to accomplish?
Well, there's a lot of them. We've seen a huge explosion in wealth in the past few decades, big amounts of money that have piled up at the very top of the income ladder, finance, from people in tech, people in real estate, retail, you name it. You know, lots of people have made a lot of money. And now many of these people are turning to philanthropy. There's a lot of things they want to do with that money in terms of trying to solve problems in the world or give back to the institutions they care about. And they're also often proceeding in some different ways than earlier philanthropist. So it's a really interesting time right now in the world of philanthropy.
Now, there's all kinds of people that have lots of money, and I got to figure that they're different kinds of people, so they want to do different things, and we'll use the term impact investing. You've got the people that are in tech. You got the people that are from Wall Street. You got the people that are celebrities. You got the people that invented a product, you know, solved a problem and got rich. Are they all the same, or are they different?
Well, they're quite different. I mean, on the one hand, you hear a lot about some of these new donors coming out of the tech world, people like Mark Zuckerberg or Sean Parker, who made their money by inventing new products and disrupting whole industries. And some of those people want to bring that same mindset to solving social problems through philanthropy. They want to, do big systemic change. So you have those kinds of people on the one hand. On the other hand, there's plenty of sort of more traditional kind of benefactors, these who are around these days, who are writing big checks to their alma maters. You know, every time we turn around, it seems like there's another $100 million gift going to some university or some cultural institution. So it's really all over the map.
Now, this isn't totally my field, but one of the things I've been reading about, and I read a little bit of your book, is that in the past, people would give a gift, it would go to the foundation or somebody, some trustee, they'd disperse it, blah, blah, blah. But now these gifts come with strings attached. What's going on?
Well, one thing is that many of today's donors, they're more hands-on. They have done very well in business. They have a lot of skill. They often have a great deal of self-confidence. And when they give money to philanthropy, they don't just want to write a check. They want to get involved. They want to help nonprofit organizations or universities kind of be more effective. And so, they'll write the check, but they also want to be at the table in terms of making some of the decisions. And that's very different than a kind of previous model or, more of a hands-off, hey, I believe in your institution, here's my check, go make some good in the world.
Now, one of the things I'm hearing you talking, and it sounds like you're talking about the interventionist government that we had in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and as the budget constraints have come into play, that they've pulled back a little bit. So it sounds like these high net worth people are filling that gap to some degree.
Right. And we are seeing that these new philanthropists are filling a vacuum left by a government that doesn't have the resources that it used to have, or which is kind of calcified or beset by, partisan deadlock. And these philanthropists, they see an opportunity to solve some problems going around government. And on the one hand, that's an encouraging trend. On the other hand, government is accountable to citizens in theory, right? We the people, oversee government, and these philanthropists aren't really accountable to anybody. And so often they have a lot of power. And education is a good example right now. A lot of these people have financed charter schools, kind of creating a whole alternative parallel universe.
We're seeing that down here. We're seeing that down here. We had, we were seeing that down here for sure. Now, I want to get in one more quick question before we've got to go to break. How is the new class of wealth different than the old class of wealth and their impact on society?
I think that many of these people are much more interested in systemic change, having effects over public policy. A lot of them are quite political. And they give money through charity on the one hand to make change, and on the other hand, they're also engaged in political giving. You see a lot of kind of activist super citizen donors, as I call them, on both the left and the right, pushing different agendas, whether it's an environmental agenda on the left or on the right, small government and fewer taxes or charter schools.
Yeah, I've even actually seen a high net worth guy during CNN starting to have his own commercial about political involvement with the president. He's against the president. I'm sure we'll start seeing a guy on soon that's for the president. So if you were going to make just one last point for us, what's the most important point you have to make?
there's a lot more of this big philanthropy that's coming down the pike at us, because many of the richest people in America, they had barely begun to give away their money. There's, you know, the Forbes 400 has a net worth, combined net worth of about $2.7 trillion. And that top 1% that we hear so much about, it collectively holds about $30 trillion. And a lot of experts think a fair amount of that money is going to find its way to the charitable sector. So look out for more philanthropists stepping up, more checks being written for larger amounts, and a greater impact on society by private philanthropy at the same time that government is facing a lot of problems and constraints, particularly with its financial, long-term financial challenges as baby boomers retire.
30 seconds. What impact is that going to have? What's that going to mean to the average Joe who's listening and driving home in traffic right now?
It's going to mean that you'll see things happening in your city or in your neighborhood or at the national level that, your congressional representative or your mayor is not going to really have much control over, because it's going to be happening because of these billionaire donors. And so things will be happening, but we as citizens may have less control over what's happening in our society. On the other hand, big problems may get solved along the way. So it's a mixed bag. It's kind of a good news, bad news story here, but these billionaire donors kind of sliding into the driver's seat of American life.
Well, it sounds like we're seeing one in the White House, and there may be some other ones out there. We know that the Koch brothers are doing their thing and other people are less visible. But David, I want to thank you so much for giving us insight into what they're thinking, why they're thinking, and what they want to do. Truly appreciate you coming on the show today and making time for us.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
It's my absolute pleasure. David Callahan, the book is The Givers. I'm sure you can get it on Amazon. Thank you so much, David, for coming on. We look forward to your next book and having you back.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Now, we're going to come back right after the break. We're going to have George back on. We're going to talk about things you need to know when you're leasing space. We'll be back after this. Oh yeah, love Express Yourself, man. I love that. These folks are expressing their self with money. I'm expressing myself with my love for my wife and the passion I bring to the radio show. Hey, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They've got a brand new store up in Gainesville selling Audis. I drove that Audi A7 Turbo, smoking hot car. They're all exceptional cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Rocket, Wanda. Look.
Attention small business owners, you know how hard it is to get capital to grow your business. Next Wave is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit's not that great. If you've been in business for over a year and have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave can give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. Visit nextwavefunding.com to apply. You may qualify for a cash advance of $5,000 to $500,000. Visit nextwavefunding.com or call 1-866-818-WAVE. 1-866-818-WAVE. That's 1-866-818-9283.
All right, hey, what are you going to do if you need cash to close by year end? Doesn't seem like there's time to do it. Well, there is. We're not a bank. We're private lenders. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. You get the person that makes the decision on the phone with you. We can commit. That person will make a commitment that day. You'll get it. In a week, we can close. So if you have equity in your home, your business property, give me a call at 305-773-6300. We can make a loan up to $15 million. Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, Monroe. If you're rebuilding in Monroe, call me at 305-773-6300. We want to help you rebuild in the Keys. So if you need help, you give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you.
Hey there, are you a Beatle fan? I'm Joe Johnson, and I sure am. Join me Sunday afternoon at 2 for Beatle Brunch, right here in the station where money talks and Beatles brunch. 880 The Biz.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're on again with my good friend George Morales. George is full of positive energy. He's putting it out there like a freaking machine gun. And we're going to talk about George's background, and then we're going to talk about his advice to you if you're trying to lease a commercial property for your home, for your business. George has got some great tips. George, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back.
Now, tell us, George, you're a CCIM, right? You got the PhD in real estate.
I did. In 2000, I head out to San Francisco to take my final exam, and I sympathize with all of you who have to take that exam. It's a grueling 6 to 8 hour exam, so study hard, put that presentation together, and pass that exam.
Now, let's go right to it. People are out there. They've got questions. It's that time of year where people are considering what they're going to do next year. Some people are on a one-year lease. Some people are on a 3 to 5 year lease. But it doesn't matter. You should always be evaluating your space, your options in the market, and what you can do. George, what are some of the things that people just make mistakes on? Give me some advice here. What's going on?
All right. Well, let me talk in a more basic, generic way, Jim.
Perfect.
First, I want to say that I'm following the biblical example here as a Christian. It's better to give than is more blessed to give than to receive. So commercial real estate is a highly guarded and secretive industry. I mean, people hire us for our know-how, our knowledge base. And so for good reason, brokers don't give a lot of information out. Well, that unfortunately has led in our community for business owners make poor decisions regarding their lease. So number one, I wrote this book to empower business owners to understand the ins and outs of commercial real estate. No one should sign a lease if they don't understand what they're signing. So from a higher level, business owners need to know 10 common questions. That's part one of the book. And I wanted to do this in a palatable, digestible way. So I came up with a business owner and his lease that is expiring. He's responsible for full floor lease, hundreds of thousands of dollars in rent, and yet he has never negotiated a lease. He's never read his lease. He doesn't have a license. He doesn't have a degree in real estate. What is he going to do? And I bring alongside of him a commercial real estate broker who guides him through this course. So as you read this business story, you answer 10 common questions of commercial real estate. And these are questions from, look, as simple as, what's the difference between Class A and Class B? Do I pay rent on usable versus rentable? What's an RFP? What's an option to renew? How does that benefit me? What's a ROFO? Is that dog speak? So we go through and answer commercial real estate lingo and language. In part two, we dive into, I just roll up my sleeve and I give you a fire hydrant drink of 7 pitfalls to avoid when signing a lease. We get really practical there. These pitfalls could include never signing a personal guarantee. Jim, you know how many business owners just willfully sign the lease? They just go into this process and they sign every page of the document, and the leasing agent or property owner says, it just pay your rent and everything's fine, sign all the documents. And lo and behold, they signed a personal guarantee. Second,
George,
yes.
George. Let's slow down. No, you had a lot of good coffee there, bro. You were terrific. You were terrific in the green room.
I was at Palacio de Hugos just before I got here.
That's okay. I love that place, actually. So we're going through the 10 common questions that the commercial real estate agent should know.
Yes.
What's the biggest, you know, we're not going to get to all 10.
No.
You got to read your book for that. What's the biggest question that people don't ask? Most important.
They don't negotiate or ask for, can you mitigate the relocation clause? You realize that during your term, your landlord can relocate you. Now, let me bring this home. If you're an accounting firm, how would you feel being in the middle of tax season and you get a notice from your landlord that you're going to hereby be relocated in 30 days and you have no choice about this? So that's one, the personal guarantee, learning that there's other ways to mitigate and securitize a lease without actually personally putting yourself and your business in harm.
So when I negotiate a deal, I ask people to envision the old equalizer that you had in your car.
Yep.
You can move something up and something down. So if I'm the landlord, I've got a number in mind. So if you're going to ask me to pay your moving expenses, I'll say yes, your rent is now 50 cents a foot more. So it's something that's got to balance out. What you really have to do is you have to learn how to negotiate. You have to know that the business owner can say, no, I don't want to pay that. I'm going to do this, that, or the other. And in order to know where people are flexible and can be negotiated, what's important, George?
You need a tenant advisor on your side fighting for you. Now, listen, property owners.
Now, George, if somebody wanted to work with you to have you be their guardian, how would they find you?
Well, you can find me at blueboxre.com. Send me an email at info@blueboxre.com. Call me at 305-562-2354.
We have Jets fans that listen. You got to go a little slower for them.
yes, and hopefully some Notre Dame fans listening. Hey, that will be a little slower on Saturday. Now. But you can reach us also at info@don'tsigntheleas.com. I encourage you to visit. We've tried to create resources for business owners. There's help out there. You know, property owners engage numerous professionals who represent their real estate needs.
Uh-huh.
And number one, these professionals are property managers, leasing agents, engineers, maintenance staff, asset managers, and so forth. And business owners need to know, when you show up to see space, you're going up against an army of professionals whose intent is to negotiate a good deal for the landlord. You don't have to go alone.
Who've done it before. They know what to talk about and what to ask versus the business owner who's doing it just for the one time.
One time. You're a law firm, CPA firm, a healthcare group. You show up and you think you're getting a good deal because you negotiated a dollar off the rate when there were things you could have asked for and things that maybe you agreed to, you didn't realize the implications of these in the long term.
Well, a lot of people do a residential transaction. They wouldn't do it without a lawyer. They wouldn't do it without title. They wouldn't do it without a realtor for sure. So to me, it's absolutely nonsensical to walk into a complex once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime, three times in a lifetime transaction that's going to drive your business image and cost structure without having the assistance of a professional. Now, I want you to tell me what an OBO is and what a TBO is.
So I define in the book, OBOs are overwhelmed business owner.
That's Mike, everybody.
That's everybody. That's Mike Johnson as we find him in our business tale. He's overwhelmed. What is he going to do?
This is the guy in your book.
That's my character in the book. And by the time he gets to the end of part one, he signs not only a lease, but a vehicle for prosperity for his business. He becomes a triumphant business owner.
Wait a minute. That's the most important thing you've said. A vehicle for prosperity. So tell me what you mean.
Okay, so a bad lease can have the same effect as a bad quarterback and an all-star laden football team. You're going nowhere. A good lease is like having a rock star as a quarterback. He can carry the team and lead to success. You want a rock star quarterback lease.
Okay, we're gonna let people chew on that a little. George is going to come back. He's going to give his secret sauce after this break. So stay with us. If you're considering moving your business or you just like to hear somebody who's had a lot of coffee, stick with us. We're going to have a great time. George almost spit his water up on me. I'm going to make him do that, I promise, before the end of the segment. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have some great information that you'll be able to use right away to save money. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell Wanda, rock the house, girlfriend. I'm having too much fun. I didn't realize you turned on my mic, Wanda. Where are you coming up with this great stuff? I'm having a great time today. This is a super thing. You know, they should have a movie called Footloose. I think that'd be great. Now, everybody. There you go. All right. Hey, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with a Warren Henry advantage. And join me Saturday at Supercar Saturday at the Lamborghini Broward store out on State Road 84 and I-75. It's going to be a smoking hot event. My friends are going to be there, and I hope you will be too. You know, Warren Henry's got all these different brands. What do they have in common? They're all exceptional cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant. You can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me as a member of the Warren Henry family. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Wanda, play that music.
Small business owners, you know how hard it is to get capital to grow your business. Next Wave is a direct funder that can help you get the cash you need when you need it, even if your credit's not that great. If you've been in business for over a year and have at least $12,000 in sales every month, Next Wave can give you the money you need. It's as simple as that. Visit nextwavefunding.com to apply. You may qualify for a cash advance of $5,000 to $500,000. Visit nextwavefunding.com or call 1-866-818-WAVE. 1-866-818-WAVE. That's 1-866-818-9283.
All right, everybody, this is where I talk about how I can help you. Do you need some help? Do you need some cash? Do you have some equity in your house or in the real estate that your business is in? Give me a call at 305-773-6300. I want to help you. We are one of South Florida's oldest private lenders. You call us, the person answers the phone. That person makes the decision. They can make a commitment that day. We can close within a week. If that sounds like the way to pay the IRS or get that family member off your back that's looking to get paid off, you give me a call at 305-773-6300. George is laughing. I get the call every freaking day from somebody that got the loan from their father-in-law or their parents or their brother, and they just can't take it anymore, and they want to get out, and they want to do it now. And I can do that. I can close for them in a week. I can take their special situation and turn chicken whatever into chicken salad. So if you give me a call at 305-773-6300, I'm going to help you. And when you call me, it's all about you.
Stay in touch with us through your smartphone. Get your TuneIn, iHeart, or 880 The Biz apps.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right. Hey, everybody. We're back, and we've got the firebrand, George Morales. He's here giving rocket fire. George had 72 cups of coffee before he came. Actually, he was at
just about.
There you go. And now we're going to get some good tips, George. What I want you to do now is we're going to talk about the secret sauce.
Yep.
I want you to talk about the issues. You don't have to talk about fully solving them because people should call you to get the special sauce. But what are some of the things? I'm looking to lease space right now. I want to get 3,000 square feet. What do I got to know? I'm driving by the building. Looks like a great building. I see through there. Looks like they got a vacancy there. It says for lease. I'm going to call. Who needs George Morales?
All right, number one, you need to realize the person you're going to speak to either is the landlord or works for the landlord, not you. If it's a leasing agent, his fiduciary is to the landlord.
What does that mean?
Fiduciary is a relationship of obligation to one party. In this case, the leasing agent's obligation to negotiate the best possible deal is to the landlord. So you need to know he's not working for you. He might be the friendliest person on earth, but at the end of the day, he's trying to negotiate the best deal for his landlord. And I've been a leasing agent many times. I understand that role. I've been behind a curtain. So you need to understand that. Number two, you need to understand that everything in the lease document can be negotiable. So take a look at it. There's language in that you may not understand. What is attorment? What is subordination? That's why on my own podcast, I brought on real estate attorneys to explain these things. But you need to understand how that can bury your business. Number three, you need to understand, what are your hours of operation? We're here in the studio. It's way past 6 o'clock. You still have air conditioning. We're not sweating.
Okay? Yeah. You should try being on 24 hours a day during a hurricane in this building, but that's a story for a different day.
There you go. So you need to understand that full service rent doesn't mean that you will have full service air conditioning 24/7. You may be able to access the space 24/7, but you may not be having air-conditioned space 24/7.
Now, George, let's talk about occupancy cost. The cost of occupancy is a lot more sometimes than the face rate that I'm paying. Right. So what are some of the other things that could come back to bite me in the keister? I could say keister, can't I?
You can say that. So, listen, there are several things in operating expenses that can come back to bite you. You need to understand how the lease works. Is it a triple net lease? Is it a full service lease?
What's the difference?
What's the difference? In a full service lease, it functions off of base year. What that basically means is the rental rate that the landlord is offering to you includes both the base rent portion, which let's just call that the landlord's profit, and the expenses of the building. And so those expenses are tied to a base year, typically the first year you move in. In future years, if those expenses go up, the landlord can pass those costs to you.
Hold on.
We're in the weeds.
No. So how did I protect myself against my lease rate going up without me expecting it? That's my occupancy cost. That's my number. It affects my bottom line. How do I protect myself from the vagaries of the universe?
Okay, well, first of all, you get a tenant advisor on your side, number one. Number two, there are mechanisms that your brokers can ask for. Your broker can ask for a cap on controllable expenses. We'll help mitigate that. You can add language pertaining to, in the event the building sales, that the assessment to the property will not go up. So there are things that you can do. You can peel back some things. Some landlords might include provisions in there that maybe shouldn't be considered an operating expense and so forth. So there's a lot you can do with that.
So we've only got a couple minutes left, George. I want you to give your number, your contact info now. Go slow for the Jets fans, and then we're going to do it again in a couple minutes so people have time to get a pen.
Perfect.
Go.
Okay, so it's George Morales. My firm's name is Blue Box Real Estate, commercial real estate outside of the box, and the email is info@blueboxre.com. The website is blueboxre.com, and you can call me, my cell, you can call me tonight, 305-562-2354. The book is titled Don't Sign the Lease, The Tale of the Triumphant Business Owner. You can visit www.don'tsignthelease.com. Remember, in the internet world, there are no apostrophes. So it's D-O-N-T, signthelease.com. And the purpose of that is to equip business owners. So there's a podcast. We've got more content coming. But we want to make a smarter tenant. We think all of South Florida wins when business owners understand commercial real estate.
What's the one thing you want to leave people with that they need to know because they're looking for space? I'm looking for space. What's the baseline first thing I need to know?
You need to know that there's help out there from tenant advisors. There's help from professionals. The landlord has a professional working for him. Why shouldn't you have one?
That's awesome. Oh, George, I want to thank you so much. George Morales, he protects me when I go get a lease. You should have him protect you when you go get a lease. I want to thank everybody today. Of course, I want to thank Vicky, our first guest, the living donor. Vicky was powerful, spiritual, motivational. She told us a little bit about why she donated her kidney. She also told us about how she felt. She was a fifth grade school teacher. She was back playing going bowling and playing with her kids. Her kids were behind her. Her partner was behind her. She felt like $1 million, like most of the kidney donors we've spoken to. She only wishes she could do it again and again because she changed the world of a woman named Rachel. Rachel was waking up. She was bloated. She was feeling like crap. She had to go to dialysis. She couldn't work. She couldn't do anything. It was hard for her. And this woman, Vicky, brought light. I'll say it for you, George. She brought God's grace to my to that woman. And she allowed that woman to get up and live a normal life for at least another 10 years, God willing, longer. I know people live longer than that. So I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Vicky. I want to thank my good friend, George Morales. I want to thank David Callahan, the Givers. His book is The Givers. George's book is Don't Sign the Lease. It's awesome information. If you need anything automotive, go to Warren Henry. That's right, Warren Henry. If you want to find out more about my Drive Flex Wheels, go hashtag Drive Flex Wheels and watch how I'm driving an Audi one week, a BMW the next, a Range Rover the next. It's awesome. It changes your whole outlook, and it's really a lot of fun. I want to thank our other sponsors, Next Wave. I want to thank Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies, Lauren's Kids, the Marlins. Of course, I want to thank you, our listeners. Without you, we wouldn't have a show. Go to our Facebook page and like the show and tell your friends. Go to our community. Give us feedback, comments. Tell us who you want to hear from. You can tweet at me, Jim Fried. Now you got a lot more characters to use. At Fried on Business, Facebook, LinkedIn. Robert Pitts will have us up on YouTube and the website real fast. If you missed today's show, it'll be up on the webpage, freedombusiness.com, probably by Saturday. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us next week on 8 a.m. on Thursday at 6 p.m. Why? Because I think by now you just know I love doing this. Remember, this is not a rehearsal. This is your life. The person wants to do something, finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen. Wanda, you take the rest of the show and rock the house.